The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against an adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was an older lady, widowed, and she was known to be of great faith and had fervent prayer. She would pray always. People in the neighborhood always knew who to go to for prayer. She would pray often and always. She also had this neighborhood, this row of houses, they always had the big, they were older homes, so they had decent front porch out front. And she would sit on her chair and pray out in her porch as well. But sometimes she would also pray aloud, vocally, and her neighbor, when she would do that, her neighbor would hear her sometimes, and it would really disgust her because he was an atheist and non-believer. And so one day at the end of the month, she goes out to pray, and she prays aloud, it's the end of the month, and she prays to God, and she said, "Oh, Lord, it's the end of the month," and she said, "I've run out of money, and if you could just help me get some groceries, just get me by. Just get me by through the end of the month. Some milk, some eggs, some bread. I've been faithful to you, and I just come to you in prayer for you to answer my prayer and bring me some food just to get by." And so the gentleman next door, he's out in his front porch, and he hears her, and he thinks to himself, "I'll show her. He's not going to answer her prayer. I'm going to go get those groceries instead." So he goes out to the grocery and he gets two bags of groceries and puts it at her front door. And he goes back home and he's sitting on his front porch just waiting. A little while, she comes back out. She sees these two bags of groceries and she starts in prayer again and she's thanking God. "Oh, Lord, you've answered my prayer. You know, I've been hungry and you've brought me food to eat." And she said, I give thanks and praise to you." And she's going on and on. And the neighbor's just disgusted. And he yells at her and he said, "God didn't get you those groceries. God didn't answer your prayer. I bought those groceries." And she continues praying. "Oh, Lord," she said, "you not only brought me those groceries, but you made the devil pay for them as well." Jesus today is stressing something that was completely obvious to him and should be obvious to all of us. The connection between faith and persistent prayer. Not just prayer, just like that lady, persistent prayer. as he was describing in that parable. What Jesus is getting at is if one truly does believe in God and his goodness and love, then one should be praying always without losing heart. Faith to pray always without losing heart. But keep in mind, the very fact that Jesus asked the question in this parable indicates that he's not completely convinced that when he comes again, that he will find faith. He asked that question for a reason. He's not totally convinced when he comes again that he will find faith here on earth. And so the question for us today is, if Jesus were to come right now, would he find faith in fishers, in all of fishers? Would he find faith? We can think about that. Maybe people we work with, run into, live with, neighborhoods. And would he be satisfied with our faith? Would he praise us by saying how great our faith is? Or would he say, oh, you of little faith? Jesus describes the criterion for faith that he wants to find in us in today's gospel. In his teaching, he is teaching us about the necessity to pray always without ever losing heart. The true test of our faith, he says, is in our prayer. We pray because we have faith, because we know that someone is listening always. If our faith in God were strong, then our choices of how we spend our time, how we make our priorities, would show it. We all have an opportunity to grow in faith that gives meaning and purpose to this day, tomorrow, and the next. If our faith in God were strong, then our choices of how we spend our time, how we make our priorities, would show it. In seminary and in my office today, I have a quote by a Benedictine monk. And it said, he said, until you are convinced that prayer is the best use of your time, you will never find time for prayer. Until you are convinced that prayer is the best use of your time, you will never find time for prayer. Not only is prayer an expression of our faith in God and that God is truly worth our time, but prayer is a crucial way by which we grow in faith and stay faithful to God. In the first reading, we witnessed the battle of the Israelites against the Amalekites. Moses was up on the mountain while Joshua was down on the field leading the troops. The more important combatant of the two was Moses up on the mountain. Whenever his hands were raised, the Israelites dominated. Whenever his arms drooped, the Amalekites gained the upper hand. The early church fathers gave a spiritual interpretation to this event. They said, we're all in a battle against various spiritual Amalekites today. To the temptations we face, to the sinful tendencies that come from within. When we have our hands raised in prayer to God, they taught, the early church fathers, we will triumph through him who strengthens us. But when our hands fall, when we cease to pray, we will be conquered by these temptations and tendencies. This truth has been apparent to sinners and saints throughout the centuries and still is obvious today. The great saints have said, before the grace of God go I, and saw that they obtained those graces in prayer. But the opposite is also true. When someone abandons prayer, they will start to be overcome by various temptations, either gradually or quickly. It is at the ordination of a priest that a priest publicly promises to pray. He says that in front of the bishop and in front of a full cathedral. This is throughout the day, five times throughout the day, for his own needs, but also for the needs of all the church, for all the parish here. It's called the divine office because it is the priest's job to pray, and the liturgy of the hours because it's the principal means by which the priest is called to pray always. Lady can pray the divine office as well. I know Bishop Barron just released his Liturgy of the Hours book last spring or summer, and so it's an opportunity for the laity to pray, for all of us to pray together. The same prayers I say are the same prayers today that the Pope said, that every other priest, bishop, cardinal said today as well, and some of the laity as well. But the thing about prayer is, prayer just doesn't just happen. My prayer just doesn't just happen. I got to know, just like you, when and where am I going to pray? When am I going to get up in the morning and pray? Where am I going to pray? And what's that look like? And so so it goes for all of us. To have that desire for prayer is a good thing, but to also plan for it. Because we could think a business CEO, he has a business plan for his business. A coach has a game plan for his team, the game. We should have a plan as well. If we want to pray, what's that look like? What's that look like today? What's that look like this afternoon or this evening? What time? Where is that going to happen? Be specific. What room? What chair? It helps prayer happen a lot easier. Prayer is the means by which we all stay faithful. Shortly before he died, Pope John Paul II reiterated this call to incessant prayer in a document called Stay With Us, Lord. He said, there is a particular need to cultivate a lively awareness of Christ's real presence, both in the celebration of the Mass and in the worship of the Eucharist outside of Mass. The presence of Jesus in the tabernacle must be a kind of magnetic pull, attracting an ever greater number of souls enamored of Him, ready to wait patiently to hear His voice and, as it were, to sense His beating heart. He says, adoration outside of Mass should become a particular commitment for a parish and their community. He goes on to say, let us take time to kneel before Jesus present in the Eucharist. Let us deepen through adoration our personal contemplation, drawing upon aids to prayer inspired by the Word of God, Scripture, and the experience of so many saints, old and new, who in the Eucharist found nourishment on their journey towards perfection. The saints are saints because they took the time to pray and eventually got there and were fed spiritually with the Eucharist and through prayer as well. St. John Paul II goes on to say that he is calling all of us to act on our faith in Christ, the Son of Man, in the Eucharist. If we truly believe that Christ is present in the tabernacle, we would make it a priority to come and spend time with Him. Because if St. John Paul II were alive today and were to come to St. Louis de Montfort this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we would probably all be here, invite friends and family, and this would just be a very small house. Too small for everyone. I mean, the fire codes would be broken and everything else. You know, that's just true. But the thing of it is to realize that someone far greater is already here. Already here. That our Creator, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, resides here all the time. St. John Paul II is calling all of us on behalf of God to not take this incredible gift for granted. He calls us to make Jesus in the tabernacle the magnetic pull of our lives, drawing us here where Jesus is, waiting for us, ready to give us His full attention. If we truly believe that this is God and that nothing or no one is more important than God, then we will take advantage of this grace of Jesus in this church. One of my most beautiful things I've seen here is before school, I've seen parents a time or two before Mass, before school starts, take their child to the Adoration Chapel. I've also seen parents from time to time, after they've dropped off their child in the morning, to come and spend some time here in prayer before they're probably off to work. You know, 5 minutes is better than none. 5, 10 minutes. Prayer is prayer. Prayer is time with God, acknowledging that He's here and spending a little bit of time, whether it's 1 minute, 10 minutes, or 60 minutes. The truth of the matter is that prayer is the pinnacle and summit of the Christian life by which we prepare ourselves for heaven. When we hope to see God face to face, Jesus in his earthly life taught us by his own example of prayer and by so many teachings on prayer on how important it is if we wish to remain faithful to him. When he comes again in just a few minutes on this altar, he wants to find us in us true faith and the priority for prayer that flows from our faith. We can see on this cross just above the altar, just like Moses had his hands raised so that the Israelites would receive the victory, so Christ's hands have been permanently lifted on this cross so that we, his disciples, might achieve victory with our faith and persistent prayer. We receive this foretaste of victory in the Eucharist. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who lifted up those hands for us, help us to lift up our hands and our hearts to the Lord in persevering prayer, so that we might be able to receive the first fruits of that victory in this life and face to face with him in the next.